Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And I don't know about you, but I came ready to preach. Who came ready to hear today? I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about. In fact, it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. In fact, I have two things that I love to talk about more than anything else, and it really comes down to this, that if you know about us at our church, that we're called Focus 314. And what we love to do is to help people keep their focus on God. We love to help people keep their focus on God, and instead of the situations and the trials and all of the stuff that's going on in your life. But how many of y'all know that it's hard to do that all the time? It's hard to keep your focus on God. And when you have a situation come around, you immediately turn your focus to what that is, and you lose sight of how God is even moving in your life. And in fact, here's what I believe, that there are two major issues in our life that can pull away our focus from God more than anything else. And I call them their M&Ms. It's an M&M of what can pull your focus away from God. And number one is this, is marriages and relationships. When you start getting into some marriage situations, when you start getting into marital trouble, all of a sudden, man, you lose sight of everything. You just see how bad the relationship is. You see how it's falling apart, and you completely lose sight of how God is even working in your life and how he can work in that marriage. And that's why every single year here at our church, we go through relationship series. Typically, it's going to happen in February. Go figure, right? Like, there's a little romantic in February. We talk about relationships here all the time because we love to be able to see people get their focus on God. We love to see marriages restored because I believe this. I believe that if a marriage is destroyed, then not only is he destroying, the enemy destroying a relationship, he can destroy generations that are going to come afterwards. And we love to be a church that is going to be able to talk about the real things that God has for us, for your relationships, for your marriages. And so we try to really talk about marriages a lot. In fact, that's a big thing that my wife and I do a lot is we meet with couples. And we love to see marriages restored. We love to see things get back on the right track so that we can keep our focus on God. And the second one that I believe that we can really lose focus on God is the area of money. We talk about money. We're talking about money. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks is we're going to talk about money. And some of you are sitting here going, oh, great. We're talking about money. That's exactly the last thing that I want to talk about in church. See, I knew that the church was all about money, right? Like you've heard that before. And let me tell you something. I believe that you're kind of right in that. In fact, I believe that the church should be about money. But a little bit different than what you're thinking. See, it's not about what we can get from you. It's about what we can get for you. See, the reality is that the church should be about money because Jesus was about money. He wanted to be able to see you have a better life. He wanted you to be able to deal with your finances in a healthy, life-giving way. Did you know this? That out of the 38 parables that Jesus talked about, 16 of them had to do with money. That one out of every 10 verses in the gospel, just the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one out of every 10 verses has to do with money. There are over 2,000 scriptures that have to do with money, more than anything else, more than faith, more than prayer. It talks about money. The church should be about money in a very life-giving and a positive message for you. It's not what we can get from you, what we can give for you. Because I know this. I know that serving God is the best life that you can ever have. Yeah. It is going to be better than anything that you ever dreamed before. Who wants a better life? Anybody want a better life? Man, I want you to be able to have a better life. And so I think it's important for the church to absolutely 100% talk about money in a very life-giving, positive way. So that you know how you can deal with your money on both sides, an abundance of it, and also a lack of it, and still keep your focus on God and understand how he wants to work in and through your finances. That's what I hope is going to happen throughout this series. And some of you are sitting in, you're like, this is pretty tense already. Like, And you know, you don't necessarily come to a church like this that's going to really talk about real issues that face real people. You know, you're used to going to church that they're going to talk about, like, I don't know, whatever it is, like the end times. You know, like, that's fine for Magog and Gog, who the Antichrist is going to be. But you're a real person and you have real issues. And so that's what we want to do here at our church, is we want to talk about those things that are actually right in front of you. Because I believe that following Jesus is the best life that you ever have. And I believe that he has a better plan for you and your finances than you ever thought before. And that's why we want to talk about things in a very real and a very life-giving way. So here's what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks. These are the messages, and these are the title of the messages that we have for the next 4 weeks. And that's going to be this: less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be stress-free. Anybody want to be stress-free when it comes to money, right? Like, I don't want to carry that weight around with me at all. I want to be able to live a better life. We're going to talk about generosity when giving is good. It's good for us to do so. In fact, you talk about generosity, that God has called us to be generous and willing to share. And let me encourage you to do this. If you want to know more about generosity, make sure that that's a highlight for you to come on that day, but also to be part of our next steps, which happens every single Sunday, except for the fifth Sunday. There's only four of those sessions. So like today, there's a fifth Sunday in this month, so there's no next steps. But next steps is a place where you find out more about your spiritual journey and what God has for you. It happens every single Sunday, except for five Sundays. Happens every single Sunday right during our 11:15 service, and Pastor Jonathan helped facilitate that. And I want to encourage you to be part of that so you can find out more about generosity. Amen. You want to talk about where stress is bad? I want to tell you, I love peace when it comes to finances. In fact, there's this thing called financial peace. Anybody familiar with financial peace? Well, we got the Sloans right over there, and they're actually leading a community group based off of financial peace, because we believe that stress is bad. You want to know more about it in a very life-giving way? I want to encourage you. Make sure that you see Josh and Ashley afterwards, because it's going to be absolutely phenomenal couple of weeks to be able to see what's going to happen in financial peace. So here's what I want to be able to do. We're going to talk about each of these things. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. I want you guys to repeat after me. You're going to say these things right along with me, all right? You guys ready for this? Here we go. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. Some of you did not, like our two pastors, you guys were the worst ones in that. What in the world happened? We need to start over just for these two, all right? Here we go. You guys ready for this? Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. That was really good. In fact, here's what I'm going to tell you, that we're going to be talking about these over and over and over again, and I'm going to ask you to say them over and over and over again. And here's the reason why I want to ask you to say them over and over again. Because I want these things to be able to settle inside of your heart. I want you to not just talk about it right here, but actually take this message and go out. Live it out on Monday. Live it out on Tuesday. Live it out as you're going through your life when it comes to your finances. How does God want me to be able to perceive my finances? I don't want it to just be here. I want it to be able to move into your heart. And that's why I want you to be able to internalize this in a powerful way. See, here's what I want you to know this right off the bat. We talk about being a church full of life change. And I believe that there's no greater change that can happen in your life than if you find some freedom in your finances. Anybody want to live in fear? Who wants to live in freedom? Somebody say freedom up in here today. I believe that God has freedom. It is for freedom that he set you free, and that has to do with your finances as well. It has to do with your bank account. It has to do with your checking account. It has to do with what's in your wallet right now to be able to have a different perception about money. That's what God has for you. Anybody excited to talk about money now? Six of you. All right, that's good, because we started with only three, so I'm halfway there. I love it. I love this investment. It's doubling back each and every single time. I believe by the end of this series, you're going to have a different perception when it comes to money. It won't be something that you're scared to talk about, because you're going to have a freedom that you never have before. understanding that it's not just right about here and now, but tomorrow matters. God has something special planned for you. I believe that there is freedom to be had for each and every single one of you. Whether you're gripped to everything that the world has to offer, and you can have freedom from that, or maybe you're sitting in a place where it's always felt like you're strapped, that you're always broke, that you always have nothing, and you can't do anything about it, that there's freedom for you as well. That's what I think is going to happen and believe can happen throughout this series. I want to encourage you, make this series a very important series. Make it a priority for you. Be here every single week throughout this because I believe that there is some freedom to be found for some people. Now, here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about less is more. Everybody say less is more. Less is more. Everybody say it one more time. Less is more. See, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up believing that less is more. Did anybody ever have that idea that less is more? No, man. More is better, isn't it? Like if you go to a restaurant, if you go and have a steak someplace, you don't want to just be able to say, let me have the smallest steak, do you? No, more is better. That's why I love a little place called Fogo de Chao. Anybody ever been to Fogo de Chao? Right, I got a couple of hands. Those of you that don't know about it, let me inform you, okay? If you love steak, if there's anybody in here love cows? Does anybody love cows? Anybody love eating cows, right? Like, I love to eat cows. I love it. It's fantastic. They're my favorite animal. Bacon's really close, but cows, I love cows, right? Like, I'm driving along, and I see a cow, and I'm like, that looks delicious. That's what I think to myself, right? I really do. And there's this place called Fogo de Chao, and it's all-you-can-eat steak. We saw life change happen right before our eyes right there. Here's what you do at Fogo de Chao is that you have this little round disc in front of you, and one side has green side, and the other side has a red side. Green means go. And you sit down in your seat. You don't even have to get up to go get the meat. They just bring it to you. They got these nice little gauchos that have just gone in the back and cooked up this amazing steak, and they come and they get it right in. They say, would you like some filet mignon? Well, yes, I would like some of that. And they just pull it off right on your plate. And every time you have green, they'll just keep on coming. And then when you're finally like, I can't eat another more. You got meat sweats coming out. You know, like you're like, I'm done. And you tap out and you flip that little thing over to red, and then that's it. See, I believe when I grew up, more is better. Because here's how I grew up. When I grew up, my family, we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of stuff. In fact, I remember a time when I was growing up that my dad lost his job and my mom didn't have a job at the time. She was staying home. And then when my dad lost his job, we didn't have anything. In fact, we didn't have a lot of food in our house. In fact, there's one specific memory that I have of somebody coming to the door and they knocked on the door and they brought us a big, huge bag full of groceries. It wasn't even a bag. It was a huge box full of groceries. And here's what was in that box, and this is why the memory sticks out so much, is because, again, we didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of toys, didn't have a lot of stuff. And inside of that box was actually this little tiny stuffed teddy bear. And I didn't have a lot of stuff, and so I got this little tiny stuffed teddy bear, and I loved that thing. This thing was amazing to me, and I valued this teddy bear because we didn't have a lot. And then when we did have some, then my parents were always saying that we're broke. No, we can't have that because we're broke, right? Like that's like my perception when we were growing up was that we were broke all the time. You know, like we were just one step away from getting evicted and living on the street. I don't even know. That's what I thought when I was growing up. And so then when we did have a little bit, when my parents did have a little bit of money and we got to get some stuff, I loved that stuff. That stuff was amazing. That stuff was valuable. That stuff was gold to me. And because I felt security in that stuff, then more is better. Because the more stuff that I have, the safer that I felt. More was definitely better. That's how I grew up. Can anybody relate to growing up that way? That's how it was for me. And in fact, that's the way that it still is a little bit for my parents. In fact, this is how much stuff that we had when I was growing up. Anybody have, like, you ever heard of a garage, right? And what's a garage for? A garage is to park your automobile, right? There was no way that we were ever getting a car in a garage, man. That garage was full of stuff. I have no idea what that stuff was. There is not one time that I can remember that my parents were able to park their cars in their garage because they just had stuff. Anybody relate to that one, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. You know, some of you, that's your house right now, right? You know, like, that's how it was growing up for me, because we didn't have hardly anything. And so the things that we did have, they meant a lot. So more is better. But the reality is that God has a different plan for us. He has something else for us. In fact, less is more. Everybody say, less is more.
Less is more.
And that's what we're talking about today, that less is more. And here's what we're going to do. To just carry over in that theme that less is more, we're only going to have one Bible verse for you today. Some of you are like, we're getting out early, right? Like, that's fantastic. We're only going to have one Bible verse. A lot of times if you call this your home church, you know that I love to tell stories, and I love the stories that the Bible has, and sometimes those cover multiple chapters even. But we're only going to cover one specific Bible verse today, and it's found in Ecclesiastes 4:6, and it says this: better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. We're going to repeat this. Come on now. I love this. I want this to be able to sit in for you. Everybody repeat with me. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. You guys did pretty good on that, but I heard Pastor Jonathan louder than anybody else. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Can you please drown out Pastor Jonathan, all right? Which is going to be hard to do because he's sitting on the front row. And he likes to project too, right? So I want to encourage you. I want you to be able to get into this. We need to know this. Allow it to set into your life. Anybody ready to drown out Pastor Jonathan?
Yeah.
All right, I want to see you do this. All right, here we go. You better still talk too, man. Oh, he's giving him a microphone. I love it. All right, here we go. Everybody together. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I love that. That's absolutely fantastic. And I love the way that it starts. Better. Better. I believe that God has a better way for you to live. He wants you to live better. In fact, I want that desperately for each and every single one of you. For you to be able to really take this in and to live a better life. To follow the principle that God has and to have a better life. Who wants a better life today? Better then is only one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. What does that look like if I have one handful, right? Like if I'm holding on, I got one handful, but then I have a free hand. What can I do with this free hand? Let's say that you're in need. There's something going on with you. You're trying to carry a weight that is too hard for you. What can I do with this free hand? I can come alongside you and I can help lift up that need, can't I? Let's say that I'm tired. Let's say that I'm a little wore out. What can I do with this free hand? Okay, rest my head down, right? Like maybe I could actually support myself, that I can actually take time and rest. Because I've got a free hand to be able to do something. But if I've got two handfuls and you need help, sorry, I can't do anything. I got two handfuls here. Well, what if I need to be able to rest? This hurts. I don't want to be able to sit down. I can't even support myself because I'm chasing after everything. It's better with one handful and one over here to be able to do everything else than two with toil and chasing after the wind. I don't know about you, but that sounds fantastic. That sounds like freedom. I want to be able to have some freedom where I can be able to push things around and be able to support myself, be able to help rest, be able to help support another person around. Better one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. We want a better life. We believe that less is more. Everybody say less is more.
Less is more.
But how do we really find out what less is really more? How do we live that out? Well, here's a question that I have for you. And I love asking this question. In fact, this is a powerful question. Go ahead, throw this question up there. Here's what I want to ask you today. In your life, what truly matters? I want to encourage you. Go ahead and write it down. Put your talk notes and put on the back of your talk notes and actually come up with a couple of things that you say, what truly matters in your life? If you're like sitting next to a person and they're not writing it down, write it down on their leg because they probably need it more than what you do anyway. What truly matters? What truly matters in your life? See, I ask this question a lot. I love asking this question to people. And let me tell you what 99% of people write down. In fact, you could probably guess what it is. What truly matters in your life? Family matters, right? Your family absolutely matters. Your kids matter. Relationships matter. Having a close relationship with God matters. Do you know what nobody ever writes down? Making more money. What really matters in your life? Having the biggest house on the block. What truly matters to you at the end of your days? What do you really want from life? I want to be able to have the most stuff because you know that whoever dies with the most wins, right? Like that's, nobody puts that down. Nobody ever says that in a real way. And here's the reason why I asked you this question today. Because when you look at your list, or even maybe what you're thinking, you didn't want to write it down, but what you're thinking, and then you look at where your time is spent, do those things actually match up? Or what you're actually investing in, where your money is going, do those things that truly matter, and where your money is going, do those things truly match up? Most of the time, the answer is no. See, we have an idea of what truly matters, and it's easy for us to be able to say that, my family, my relationship with God, my health, all of those things truly matter. But then when we look at our life and we look at what we're actually pursuing, it has nothing to do with what we think really matters. Less is more. Because I could tell you that most of us would actually say that, right? Less of what doesn't matter and more of what truly does. Less of some of that stuff and more of a relationship with my husband or my wife. Less of financial issues and more time spent in my relationship with God. We would say those things, but when we actually look at our life and how our time and how our money is spent, where we are investing, those things are very far apart. What truly matters for you? Less is more. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to actually talk about, okay, how do you get there? Because maybe you're in that place where, you know what, I'm actually looking at my life and I'm trying to gather as much as possible. That maybe you've seen stuff the same way that I did. You grew up the same way that I did and you find value in all of that. So how do you begin to live out the principle that less is more? And that's what we're going to talk about. Three easy things for you to be able to remember when we're talking about less is more. How do you get to a place where you believe that less is more? Number one is this. You need to cut back. Actually cut back on what you are acquiring. Cut back in the areas when you say, okay, this is what truly matters, but all of my investment and all of my time and my money is going to things that don't matter at all. Then begin to cut back in those areas. If it doesn't matter to you, if it doesn't matter at all, then why are you pursuing it, right? Stop chasing after the wind. Stop going after toil inside of your life. And to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to cut back in that and believe that less truly is more. Less is more. You know, I remember when Jenny and I, when we were first married, and anybody remember, like those of you that are married in here, you remember when you were first married? Sometimes you're like, no, I don't remember that. In fact, I try to block that from my memory. when my wife and I were first married, that the first apartment that we moved into an apartment, didn't have a house right away, moved into an apartment, and our bedroom had one closet, and it was one of those closets that had a sliding door. Like, remember those doors? And ours, they were mirrors to make the room seem bigger. Like anybody have a closet like that? Sliding door, mirror to make the room look bigger because it was tiny, right? Like that's what, like if I went back there now, I'd be like, how in the world did we even do this? Here's what we did. Man, my wife and I, when we were first married, we shared a full bed. What in the world was I thinking? Like, there's a reason why I didn't sleep very well the first year of our marriage. And so we had this closet, and Jenny got like 3/4 of the closet, and then I got like this much of the closet, right? Like, that's what it was. Some of you, that's the exact same thing now, but it was this small closet. Well, fast forward to where we're at right now, and after a couple of years, and we've, you know, been able to have a little bit more stuff, and now we have, like many of you, have a walk-in closet. Anybody have a walk-in closet? You got walk-in closets, right? Some of you, you don't have walk-in closets. You have walk-around closets, right? Like, your closet's so big. Some of you guys, you have closets so big that you actually have an island in the middle of your closet, right? Has anybody ever seen one of those? Some of you have dreamt about that. Like, how crazy of a thought is that? Like, your closet's so big that you need a place to rest for you to get to the other side of the closet, right? Like, that's a large closet that we have, right? And so here's what Jenny and I do. We like to go to model homes. We just like to go and tour model homes to get some ideas of, like, hey, we could decorate this way. Anybody like going to model homes? One of the most important things that we do when we go to a model home is we look at the closet. And we think to ourselves, this is an amazing house, but this closet's horrible. Like, it's so small. How would you fit anything in here? Or you go into a house that's like, this house is okay, but that closet, oh my goodness, that closet is amazing. I would love to have that closet. Anybody do anything like that? No, that's what my wife and I do. We do that. Closets are a big thing for us. And we are closet people. In fact, we have a closet. This is a closet culture that we live in. And why do we have closets that are so big? Why do we have walk-around closets with islands in them? Why do we do that? Because we got a lot of stuff, don't we? Because we love to acquire stuff. And it takes that much space to be able to hold our stuff. And some of you in here today, your closet, your big, huge walk-around closet, it doesn't hold all of your stuff, does it? In fact, where do you put your stuff? In the garage, don't you? You got boxes of stuff in the garage, and that's where you put it. Some of you, you can't even park in your garage. The garage is full, so then where does it go? Up in the attic. Right? Like, back in the day, I don't know, like, I grew up in a house that you could actually take some steps up to the attic. We don't have attics like that anymore, do we? No, now we have like little trap doors that you got to be able to, and hopefully you got a little plywood that went up there before the trap door went into place. And so then at Christmas time, like, you're taking the trap door down and you're on the ladder and you're trying to get that one little tote and you're like, I'm going to break my neck, you know, because your closets are full and your garage full. So you got to put it up in the attic, right? Some of y'all, your attic is full too, isn't it? You're like, I wish I would have got one more plywood piece up there. The garage is full. The attic is full. Our closets are all full. You know what we should do? We should go get a storage unit. Let's go ahead and pay somebody a monthly fee to do what? To hold our stuff. Because we just completely acquire more and more and more. We got to cut back and understand that less is more. Less is more. Where are your priorities at? And what is important to us? Is it all the stuff? Because I can guarantee that most of you, maybe there might be one person in here who wrote down stuff of what really truly matters to you. How do we get to the place where we understand that less is more? We got to cut back. Cut back on what we actually are acquiring and look at the space that we have and make sure that we can actually hold all of that stuff. And if you're in a place that you can't hold all that stuff, that leads us to the second point, which is this. We need to clean it out. Clear it out. Clear it out. I got to tell you that this has been a process for me for the past couple of months to get to a place where we can clear some stuff out. Because Jesus told us this. Jesus said that we are not, who we are does not consist of the abundance of our possessions. And to understand that all of that stuff, remember, see, I grew up in a place where those things that I had, they meant value, they meant safety for me. But to understand that my safety is not found in materialism, my safety is not found in stuff, my safety is found in Christ alone. Amen. And so we had to get to a place where I could clear out some stuff. And here's the reason why I thought about clearing out some stuff. And this began a couple of months ago. Like I said, it was a couple of months ago, and Jenny came to me. I got a couple of shirts and some t-shirts, and she said, she was like, "Hey, are you just buying black and gray t-shirts right now?" And I was like, kind of frustrated. I was like, "Yeah, that's all I'm buying, because that's all I ever wear are black and gray t-shirts. And so all of these other ones, they just sit there and don't do anything. So why not just go ahead and buy black and gray t-shirts right now?" You know, so like that's what I decided to do. In fact, this is what I said. I found this shirt, exactly. I love this shirt. I love the way that it fits. I love how comfortable it is. If you want to be weird, you can come and feel it after the service, because it's so soft and wonderful. And I told Jenny, I was like, "Babe, if you just buy me, like for Christmas, just buy me 6 of those shirts, and then I'll never have to worry about shirts again, because that's the only shirt that I ever want to wear. Because otherwise, I'm like, oh, I don't have anything to wear because my black and gray shirts are all dirty, right?" Like, so it began to this process with me. And then there was this other moment that happened. We'd been in our house for about 18 months now when we moved in. And I had one box. There were two boxes left in my closet that I had not yet unpacked. And it said Darren's junk on it, right? Like, those are the two boxes. And I cleared out those boxes. And one of those boxes was full of books. That's all that was in there were books. And I was like, "Oh, hey, babe, I got a box full of books that I need to put on our bookshelf." We got a large bookshelf in the office. We got a couple of other bookshelves around in the house. And I was like, "Hey, you got to clear out some shelves because I got some books." And she was like, "What do you mean I got to clear it out?" And I'm like, well, get rid of your books so I can put my books on there, right? And she's like, "Why would I do that?" And I thought, yeah, why would you do that? Like, it didn't even occur to me for her to move some stuff so that my stuff could go into that spot. And so I began to think, I was like, of course you don't need to do that. Like, that's just silly of me to be able to say that. You're absolutely right. You are brilliant and wonderful, and I love you very, very much. That's what I meant to say, right? You know? And so then this started this process of saying, man, I need to clear out some stuff. I need to start going through the house and clearing out some stuff. Because this is really what happens to us a lot of times, is that we have these extremely full closets and full garages and full attics and stuff that we don't even know what stuff is in our storage area because we haven't been there in 6 years, but we just keep paying the money. And so we have all of these things in our closet, and then we walk into our massive walk-in closet, and what's one of the things that we think on a daily basis? "I don't have anything to wear. I got nothing to wear in this massive, huge closet," right? Like, anybody ever have a moment like that where you're just sitting there like, "Oh, I hate all this clothes right here. Like, I got nothing to wear. Let's go to the mall," right? Like, that's what you have. You have those moments where you say, "I've got nothing to wear." And here's why I believe that we say that. Because when we're sitting there and we have this closet full of stuff, it freezes us because there are so many choices for us to make. And because there are so many choices that we can't make a choice at all. And I can't pick from any of this. In fact, this is what I like to call the Netflix effect. Anybody have Netflix, right? And you got a couple of hours, maybe you got an hour or two to spare, and you're like, "Okay, let's watch some Netflix. Let's sit down and watch some Netflix." And what do? You turn it on and you start flipping through, and you're like, "I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that. And let's go to the next genre. Nope, nothing there. Let's go to the horror section. Nothing there. And the family comedy. All these comedies are dumb." And then what do you say? There's nothing to watch. And you've sat there for 45 minutes just flipping through, and you're like, "There's nothing to watch," even though there's like 300,000 things to choose from on Netflix. You're like, "I don't have Netflix. I don't understand what you're talking about." How about this one? Has anybody ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? Anybody ever gone to Cheesecake Factory? Like, the food's pretty good at Cheesecake Factory, but how on earth do you order anything there? Because they bring you the menu, and it's like, I got a 62-page novel in front of me. and you're flipping through and you're like, I have no idea what to order in this place. Just please, just have the server just pick for me, right? Like that's how you feel, because you're like, I don't know what to choose from. And then they come to you at the end, and then they'll say, well, would you like a cheesecake? Yes, a nice simple choice. I'll take a cheesecake. And then they bring you a thing, and you're like, I need a magnifying glass to tell like 73 cheesecakes. How on earth am I supposed to choose anything? And you're like, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to watch. I've got nothing to wear, because we have so many choices that it just freezes us. And then here's really what happens, is we've got so much stuff in our life that it actually hinders us from moving forward. We're frozen in a place where we live in clutter, and there's clutter all over, and then all of a sudden it's not just clutter in my house, but it's a clutter in my life, and it's a clutter in my soul. And there literally becomes a barrier of stuff between you and God. Because I don't know about you, but when I walk into a clean room, I feel freedom. When I walk into a clean room and the pillows are in their place and it's nice and open, I can breathe. When I walk into a place and it's full of stuff, I feel confined. I feel frozen, and I can't move anywhere. And I had to get to a place where I said, I need to get rid of some stuff. And so what I did is I said, all right, babe, I'm going to go through and I'm going to start clearing out some stuff. And so I said, I'm going to make sure, and I'm going to go through our books and anything on our bookshelf that I have not touched in 10 years, I'm going to pull off the shelf. Anything that I haven't touched in 10 years, there's no reason I need it anymore. It has served its purpose in my life. There's no reason. What am I, a public library? No, I am not. Nobody's coming and checking books out from me anymore. I don't need these things in my life. I don't need them in our room. And so I did. I cleared out. And these are all the books that I cleared out that were sitting there that I haven't touched in 10 years. Over 200 books I pulled off of the shelves. I did the same thing when I walked inside our closet. I said, you know what? I've got clothes that are sitting in here. I have this mentality. I've got nothing to wear because all my black shirts are dirty right now. I've got nothing to wear, so I need to clear some stuff out. And I started going through, and I started pulling down shirts. I started pulling down pants and all that kind of stuff that I haven't worn in over a year, and over 100 pieces of clothing were sitting there. Shirts and T-shirts and jeans and pants and I threw the underwear away, all right? Don't clear that out. Just throw that away. And all of a sudden, I've got over 300 items out of two places in our house. And I believe that for many of you, you'd be able to do the exact same thing. It'd be so easy for you to get rid of 100 items just like that. It'd be so easy for many of you to get rid of 500 items just like that. I bet you there's some of you in here today that if you took the challenge, you'd be able to clear out 1,000 items in your house just like that. And you think, I don't even know, did we even get rid of anything? Because you need to clear some stuff out. And you're thinking to yourself, why do I need to do that? I don't want to do that. And let me ask you this question then. Why do you feel that way? Is it because you find your value in all the stuff? And you're like, no, that's not it at all. But that stuff is valuable. And if I cleared it out, and if I needed it again in 50 years, well, then I know that it's there, right? All right, let me challenge you with this one. Because just this past week, I had to add power steering fluid to my wife's car. And so what did I do? I went up to AutoZone, and I got some power steering fluid. And I filled it up. And it doesn't need the whole bottle, you know, I just need to be able to top it off. And then I said, oh, where am I going to put this bottle? Right, I got to put this bottle of power steering fluid someplace. And so I was like, oh, hey, this looks like a good spot. You know why I thought it was a good spot? Because it was the last time I thought that was a good spot to put some power steering fluid. There was another bottle sitting right there. And that's exactly what happens to many of you. Well, I could use this again in 50 years. And you go and you never do, and you go and acquire something more again. Because we need to clear some stuff out. We get to a place where we are just acquiring stuff, and it is causing a barrier between us and the relationships that we have. It's causing a barrier between us and what God truly has for our life, because we think that all this stuff is valuable when none of you wrote down that stuff is what truly matters. Where's your true value at? Less is more. And begin to embrace the fact that less is more. We need to be able to cut back on what we are acquiring. We need to be able to clear some stuff out. Let me challenge you. If you haven't worn it in a year, you haven't used it in 5 to 10 years, clear it out. It's already served its purpose for you. Allow it to serve its purpose for somebody else. You don't need it holding you back anymore. Less is more. And then what's the last thing, how to be able to really live this off? Pay it off. Pay it off. You want to talk about when less is more? We're talking about debt. You know what I've never heard anybody say to me? I've never heard anybody say to me this. You know, the debt that we have right now makes me feel so good. Man, you know what? This, whenever I'm thinking about interest rates, man, it just makes me want to praise God so much. When we talk about debt in our home, man, my wife and I, oh, you want to talk about passion and romance? It's when we start talking about our credit card debt, right? Nobody ever says that. You get stressed out. We feel the weight of it. We feel crippled by the amount of debt that we have acquired for all of the stuff that makes us feel valuable. Why do we cut back? And why do we clear out? So that we can pay it off. Because less truly is more. Less is more. Let's put our verse back up there. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Let me say it this way. Better is one car that's paid off than a brand new one that is causing you stress over the amount of payment that is. Better is a smaller house with a smaller payment than the biggest house on the block and your house poor. And you can't do anything. And you can't experience anything with your family because we got this massive house. Better is less than more. Pay it off. How do you pay it off? Cut back on what you're acquiring. Clear out the stuff that you don't have to worry about anymore. Get rid of the storage unit. See how much that's going to be able to free up every single month. Pay it off. Less is more. Less is more. Less is more. Now let me say this. I'm not telling anybody that stuff is bad. I'm not saying that having nice things is bad at all. In fact, if you spend any time with me, you're going to know I like nice stuff. I do. I like nice things. But I believe this. I believe that owning a couple of nice things is so much better than owning a bunch of junk that I have to replace over and over and over and over again. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with owning nice things. I'm saying what's wrong is when nice things own you. Well, I can't get rid of that. Why? Do you find your value just in that? I'm not saying that we can't have nice things. And in fact, if God has blessed you with a large home, that's fantastic. In fact, use it then. Use it to minister to the people around you. If God has blessed you with finances, there's no reason why. There's no reason why you should feel bad about that. I wouldn't feel bad about it. But understanding the reason why he blessed you, so that you could be a blessing to the world around you. See, here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is your big takeaway today. I believe that the richest people in the world are not the people who have the most, but those that need the least. It's not about acquiring more stuff. It's about that I don't need that stuff in my life. And I can find fulfillment and satisfaction in God alone. Understanding that less is more means that I want more of what truly matters. I want more of my family. I want more of my wife. I want more of my two boys in my life. I want more of those experiences that we can look back on in 50 years and say, oh, that was amazing. Wasn't that awesome? And I don't need a toothpick carved from a sequoia tree to remind me of that. I don't need a shot glass from Mount Rushmore to remind me of how great that. I don't even drink, right? You're like, why do I need this thing? Less is more. Less is more. More of what truly matters and less of what the world is pushing on you. Church, can you please stand today? My hope for you today is that you will internalize Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is one handful than two with toil and chasing after the wind. Better is one handful with peace. Better is one handful with joy. Better is one handful with love from my family than instead of being able to be pushed away because of what the world is trying to push on me. Have tranquility in your life. God has a better life for you. Cut back. Clear it out. Pay it off. Live in freedom. It's better. It is truly better for you. We give you everything, and you are truly all that we need. We don't need everything that the world is pushing on us. God, we put our hope in you. We put our treasure in you. God, that we truly believe that less is more. I pray that you'll help us lead that out. I pray that you'll help us really internalize the fact that less is more and that you have a better way for us to live. God, help us to begin to change our perception on stuff, on money. And God, breathe new life and new breath into us, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you so much for dying on a cross for our sins. For us just being able to say yes to a relationship with you, and in a moment we are saved. And God, I thank you so much for that gift that you have given us. I thank you so much for continuing to challenge us to become a better individual, to live a better life. God, we love you and we praise you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good, church? Let him know how good he is.